Welcome to the Best Self Podcast. Today, do we have a fantastic beast. First woman in the history to climb seven second summits. She's an author. She's a podcaster. She's a mom of seven. And as I mentioned, she only gets better the more you talk to her. She's got so many nuggets up inside that reservoir of awesome. So excited to have you, Drummond Nation.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Thank you for making the time for us. I know you're a busy bee. You just released your book, and who doesn't want some gen in their diets? We're excited to have you here, sister. So I just want to paint a picture, and then I'm going to let you tell the story. Normally when I write out like what I want to talk about, I was like, man, I want to be unique. I want to be abnormally awesome. I don't want to look like all the other people, but your story's so good. We have to tell it. You and your family had moved to Park City, Utah.
Yep.
And you're soaking up time with the kiddos. You describe it as that season for you where you're just trying to invest in them and be an incredible mom. And one day everything changes. Can you talk about that day for us?
Yes. So I was driving home to my house in Park City, Utah from a nearby town. And there's this weird section on the highway that where it starts, right? So at the bottom, sometimes you can hit a red light and sometimes you can hit a green light. And I happened to hit the green light. And so I'm going, you know, highway speeds up this hill. I'm looking at the reservoir on the side of the road, getting caught and thinking like, why isn't it frozen over? What, you know, all the things that, you know, your brain starts running through. I look back on the highway and I realize that I'm coming up super hot on a semi truck that's going slower than a snail that is pulling a trailer. I'm like, okay, I need to get into the fast lane. So I look to get into the fast lane. I go to get into it and I don't make it. The passenger side of my vehicle hits the back end of that trailer. And I go end over end three times, lose that momentum, and then start doing those sideways rolls, which is probably like 8 to 10 times before I end up stopping. Thank goodness, finally. I'm hanging upside down in the median at this point. I hear a voice. Like, are you okay? Are you okay? But I don't comprehend that voice is to me, right? Like I hear it, but I'm not registering it. And then the windshield gets pulled back and this guy looks at me and he goes, are you okay? And I remember looking at his eyes saying to myself, there's no way I'm okay. Can you see that dude's facial expression? This is bad news. So instead of taking his assessment of my situation, I closed my eyes and I wiggled my fingers and toes. And the first words out of my mouth were, I can feel my fingers and toes. I can feel my fingers and toes. And the guy looks at me and he goes, you're going to be okay. We just need to leave you here till the ambulance comes. So we're sitting there. The ambulance comes. They take me to the hospital. We run a million different tests and I get sent home the same day. Which for anybody who's had an NDE, which is a near-death experience, you know that that's a line in the sand. Right? There's a line before that experience and there's a line after that experience. 2 weeks after the accident, I got a call from the police station. They could not rebuild a scenario where I lived, let alone walked away. During that, the next week, a girlfriend of mine asked me to go running on a trail. I was too busy and it was kind of wet out, so I wasn't really inspired to go. She went, somehow slipped, hit her head on a rock, and never came home. So I'm metabolizing this horrific event that I somehow survive and a girlfriend who passed away doing something that you would do every day. Right. And it just was really hard to land and make sense of. And the only thing that I can come away with is I don't get to choose when I die, but I sure get to choose how I live. And am I really living? Right. So 2019 became the year of the bucket list. What do I want to do, experience, see, try? Like my life is not this endless game. Like it's going to have a day that it's over. And there's a lot of stuff that I was waiting to do, right? Like launch the kids, then I'll do that. Launch the kids, then I'll do that. And I'm like, really? Do I want my kids to have children and then just put their life on hold until their kids get launched? No. Then why am I demonstrating that?
I feel you. I think what you're talking about is extremely normal, unfortunately. Like that lifestyle has become extremely normalized. We could dive into a whole lot of different, like,
Oh no, right? I mean, there's a lot of things that we can hide in,
right?
right? Like nobody slams you for being on every single classroom like list to help out or
Right.
coaching the soccer team or doing all that kind of stuff. But there's the thing, like the world is always selling you something, right? Always, whether it's a supplement or a diet plan or a here's how you should raise your kids or here's the car you should drive or here's the neighborhood you should live in or like there is always something being sold to you. And so until you learn how to own your story and be like, hey, I appreciate all the suggestions. I need to do what's authentic to me. And it's really hard to stay in that zone of authenticity because there's so many things trying to push us out of it.
Yeah, I call that yes-itis, where we just say yes to everything. Just got an inflated life of yes. We don't have boundaries. Like there's no boundaries. And what's sad with that is most of those people are good people. Like they're heart-centered people, right? I was curious, such an amazing story. And there's not enough time in the day to go through all the cool stuff that you've done. I mean, you really are a rock star. Is there a story, if you reach back into your life? You had a mentor, you had a teacher, you had an adult, you had maybe a friend, you had somebody in your life. There was some story. They tried to give you guidance, or just maybe it was an occurrence that it happened and you didn't really soak it up. You didn't really digest it. And then post-accident, when you start reflecting on lessons you could have learned potentially earlier in your life, but you just maybe that wasn't the season for you. Maybe your eyes were in a different place. Does that make sense? Is there something you can think of
Yeah.
that, like,
Oh, 1,000%. So I was at college and we had to take a senior seminary class to graduate. And I remember being like, well, I'm graduating. So whatever one's available. And the one that was available was a course called Healing, Dying, and Thriving. I would have never signed up for that course naturally. It was just like, that's what fit my calendar. So that's what I was taking to graduate. It ended up being my favorite class in college. And one of the things that we did was we studied a hospice patient for the semester. And this hospice patient, it was like, the one regret I have is living a life that others expected of me instead of a life that was true to my own. And like, it was something we've heard, I understood it, but I didn't really embody it. And I was just like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. But like, I need to make money. And I don't like, I equated that if I made money, I wouldn't have problems in my life because I felt like the only things that my parents fought about were money. So I'm like, okay, here's the solution. Make money, you don't have that problem, right? Like, that's so far from the truth, but it's just, you're a child and that's how you're learning to gain ground. And so when that accident happened, that time back with that class on healing, dying, and thriving. Like, I started thinking about all the books we read and the things we went through and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, man, my life is definitely one that's others expected of me, but it doesn't feel really authentic.
That's so good. That's awesome. I think we all can relate to that. I think if we were, our lens just aren't in the right place at certain times of our lives. And so what is something that you used to value, but post experience, post climbs, post all this stuff that's happened since, I think it was, what was it, 2018 when you had the spill? What is something that you used to value that no longer value?
No, yeah, like external validation, right? Like, I mean, I loved being number one on the sales team, or I loved like winning the thing and getting first place and like getting that recognition. It was so satisfying. Yet when I really think about it, it wasn't satisfying because the minute I received something, I was like, okay, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? What's the next thing? It was never enough. Right. And then after the accident, it's really interesting. I would be, and I didn't even know I was consciously doing this, but I could look at it afterwards and realize unconsciously I was only taking on things I would be good at. Right. Like, and then after the accident, I was like, oh, I want to try this. Who cares if I suck and look like an idiot or like can't bring it all the way home? I was that person, like, if I'm going to do something, it's going to be done to the end and da 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 da. After that, I'm like, Guess what? I don't even like swimming. Why am I doing triathlons? Who cares that I'm good at it? One of the sports that's a third of the time that I actually have to train more than the other sports because I'm terrible at it. I'm like grouchy. Like life is too short for me to swim. I'm sorry, it's just not happening anymore. A
Yeah,
lot of that stuff.
I get it. I get it. So it would be a crime if we didn't talk a little bit about the your climbing and the lessons you've learned from that, because there are so many things. I have read your book. Incredible. So good. Thank you for sharing your story with us and all that. So you're age 40 and you decide you're going to be a climber.
Well, I mean, I'm in 2019, I'm 39,
Okay.
and I'm making this bucket list.
Right.
And I'm looking into 2020, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna be 40. This is like, I'm gonna be in a new decade. Like, this is a big deal. And so I'm looking at my bucket list. I'm like, what's one thing I could do off of this list that seems significant and a great way to launch my next decade of life? And on that list was climb a mountain. I'm like, yeah, that's only going to get harder as I get older and I live in the mountains in Park City. So I should climb a mountain for my 40th birthday. Well, I have friends that do that crazy mountaineering thing. So I call them. I'm like, hey, if you could climb one mountain in the whole world, like anywhere, what mountain would you climb? And more than one person said, Ama de Blanc. I'm like, Ama the Blom, like, yeah, it's in Nepal. It's a gorgeous mountain. It's on the way to Everest. It means the mother's necklace. And someone lied to me and said that it was like the Paramount Pictures logo. So every time I went to,
Yeah.
I'd be like, I climbed that mountain. So I'm like, okay, cool. That sounds, it checked the boxes and it sounded good. So I'm training for that mountain. COVID happens. So I'm not training or going to any foreign country, as you can imagine. And in fact, I'm homeschooling seven amazing humans. And one day during math homework, one of my kids was struggling, and I gave him that pep talk that we give, like, we do hard things. You've got this. Like, just keep pushing through. And this kid was at the end of his rope, and he goes, Mom, if we do hard things, why are you climbing a mountain called I'm a Dumb Blonde instead of a real mountain like Mount Everest? And I had to repeat it to myself, I'm a dumb blonde. I'm a dumb blonde. Ama de Blom, honey, not I'm a dumb blonde. But thank you. He went to bed and I was still looking at Everest. And I thought to myself, if I'm going to climb it and I'm going to show him whatever Everest is, we can summit. Ama de Blom is actually harder than Everest, but no one knows that. So whatever.
Right.
So I call a coach. The coach is like, yeah, I can get you ready. Buy this book about becoming an uphill athlete. So I buy the book and I'm reading it. And in the front, there's a lady who got a Guinness World Record for doing something in the Alps. And I just remember like talking to my coach on a day that I was not winning in the mom department. And I'm like, if I got a Guinness World Record, I'd be the coolest mom in the whole world because that's how my kids learned how to read. And there's nothing cool about homeschooling. Like it's just not working for us. My coach like kind of took that as a challenge. He's like, okay, I'll think of something. I'm like, okay, fine. And like the conversation was done. And then a few weeks later, he called me back and he's like, Jen, I have the perfect world record. I'm like, oh, okay, what's that? And he's like, hey, I think you should be the first woman to climb the 7 second summits. I said, I'm sorry, I have no clue what you just said. He's like, the 7 second summits. Yeah, I don't even know what those are. And he's like, well, they're the second highest point on each of the continents. They're harder than the first seven. It's only been done by one male. You'd be the first woman and the second human ever to do this pursuit. And he goes, if you think about it, seven continents, seven mountains, seven children. Sounds like a jackpot. And I can't tell you to this day why it was a whole body yes, but it was. It was like, yes, this sounds amazing. I have never slept in a tent.
I was gonna
So I don't know if
say,
that's a problem or not, but like, let's figure this thing out.
I was pretty sure I heard you say once you never even slept in a tent. Now you're gonna go climb the 7 second summits. Yeah, you're.
I
You
know,
definitely wake
right?
up peeing excellent, sister. So
So.
that's quite the it's quite the jump, and a lot of people want to do things. It's a whole different thing to become it. Like you wanted to climb. What were some of the things you had to do to become a climber?
Oh, a lot. One, I had to like learn how to build a tent, like literally. I had to learn how to layer clothing, believe it or not, because how you control your heat is so important. I had to learn how to eat and manage myself in extreme environments because if you eat too much, the blood goes away from your fingers and digests the food and you risk frostbite. If you don't eat enough, you run out of fuel and you can't continue to climb because you're going to bonk. There's just so many things that you learn about yourself. And the crazy thing is like I'm in this full force, fast speed, high octane life at home. And then I go to the mountains and I'm in like no man's land. There's no stimulation. There's no divert. Like I can't clean a room to like process things. I can't zone out on television, or I mean, maybe I could listen to a couple of podcasts that I downloaded. But then if I use my battery, I don't get to take photos. And you know, like everything is so black and white on cost benefit. And so you really get to spend time with yourself and hear yourself think. It's a moving meditation. It's all these different pieces and it becomes addicting. I had to be honest with you. Like, I didn't know what I was getting into. I'm like, okay, well, no one's done it. If I do the first one and I'm just kidding, fine. But like, I did the first one. I'm like, okay, this is fascinating. Not only am I challenging myself, but I'm meeting beautiful people from different parts of the world that I would have never encountered.
Yeah, I
And
love
then people start reaching out to you about what you're doing. And they're like, hey, I'm a mom. And I have two kids, and I said I couldn't do this. And I realized like I was limiting myself, nobody else was. And now I'm stepping into this thing. And when people start reaching out to you and start shedding their limiting beliefs because of what you're pursuing, I mean, there isn't a fuel like that. You can
that.
have all the gummies and all the everything all day long, that fuel overpowers any of that stuff.
Yeah, that's good. That's so good. Yeah, we frequently talk about talking to ourselves less and listening to ourselves. Excuse me, listening to ourselves less and talking to ourselves more. I'd imagine on some of those climbs where it's tough, it's grueling, you feel like you're operating on close to nothing, it's probably hard. And I hope I'm not putting words in your mouth, but I'd imagine it's hard not to listen to how you feel.
Oh, yeah,
A lot of
that
times
doesn't
we,
count.
you know what I mean? Like we listen to how, because feel isn't, we can't let feel always feel like it's real,
Yeah,
right?
or you have to accept how you like the thing is on the mountains is like you are in an endless game of acceptance, right? The weather changed. Now I need to go down. I'm feeling cold. Now I need to add a layer. Like you can't be like, no, I'm not feeling cold, or no, you shouldn't be feeling cold. It is, here's the thing. What's the next thing I do? Here's the thing. What's the next thing I do? You can lay out the best plan and you have this great idea. And then the next step you take, all of a sudden a cloud comes out and the temperature drops 40 degrees. And so it's this ultimate game of acceptance and then next step, acceptance and next step. You can't debate it. You can't argue it. You can't refute it. It is what it is. Onward. It is what it is. Onward.
Yeah, you got to be real. I read a stat one time where 85% of the world's unaware that it's unaware. Do you run into, you're
Yeah.
working with teams, and I know you
Absolutely.
frequently
Yeah.
talk about people over peaks, and you're all about the people and whatnot on those climbs. You go, we go. How often do you have to, I mean, you're working with other people that might not be in the same wavelength as you. How do you improvise and adapt and
Right.
overcome when you have someone that's not on the same wavelength as you with what you're just talking about with acceptance?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, right? Like it's when you first get into this sport, and I think like when you first get into anything, you just roll with everything. And then as you build experience, you realize the most important thing on this pursuit is the people I'm with and the decisions they're going to make and the abilities they bring to the table and their strengths and weaknesses. Because guess what? I'm a tiny person. There's only so much weight I can carry up that mountain. The end of day, I mean, end of story. I could gain 5 more pounds. That's really not going to help us,
Right.
right? So you really have to just be okay. Here's my strengths. Here's my weaknesses. I need to play to my strengths. Fixing my weaknesses is inefficient and ineffective. So we just have to like, so you're always looking for, okay, Jen's little, it's really easy for her to dig out things because she's got low center of gravity, like she's close to the ground. So then when you get these tall, big guys that would have to bend over to do the shovel work, they can do the carrying work. And so you really start building your team and making decisions on how do we all synergize together. And guess what? Like it's the most important thing we do on the mountain is make sure I know my weakness and your weakness, my strength and your strength, so that we're always working together.
Yeah, that's good. Separation's in the preparation, right?
Yeah.
We've only got about 5 minutes left, and then I'm kicking Drummond Nation to the curb, sister.
Okay.
I'm a big habits guy, and I know you're big build environment and build habits and values and whatnot. What are some of the routines and habits that you've built into your, the 6 inches between your ears, and how do you go about making sure they stick?
I think my favorite thing to do is trigger meditations. So, for example, every single time I touch a doorknob, that's a cue to myself to stop what I'm doing, take three deep breaths, and like, am I making conscious choices or am I on autopilot? Because I think it's really easy for all of us to get onto autopilot. And so when you change that trigger meditation for different days or different weeks or different whatever, it just gives you, brings you back to awareness. And is that awareness allowing you to be present, or are you just going through the motions? I think it's really important to watch not only what are we eating, but what are we consuming from a reading standpoint, a news standpoint, all that kind of stuff, because garbage in is garbage out, and it's not just related to food.
So, would you say that you're more of a goal conscious person or a growth conscious person?
For me, I need the goal. I need the thing that gives me the direction. So when I'm making decisions, it's like a yes or no, because it either brings me closer to that thing or farther away from that thing. But I believe that the goal allows me to align the compass, but then truly the life is lived in the pursuit of it. An example would be you're on Everest for the top of Everest, I'm sitting on the top of Everest for 10 minutes. I trained 1,248 hours for that 10 minutes. If the only thing I focused on that entire time was the 10 minutes at the top, I missed the entire purpose of the pursuit. So for me, the goal gives me direction, and then I like focus on the growth and closing the gap and making it all come together in between.
I love it. The juice is in the journey. I've heard you talk about waving the flag.
Yeah.
What do you mean by waving the flag? And two, how can we help people have the courage to wave the flag?
Yeah. I mean, wherever you are is where you are supposed to be based on the decisions that you've made to this point. And so it is easy to wave our flag when we're standing on the summit of a mountain. It is not so easy to wave our flag and say, hey, I messed up. I need to go back down and I need help. But the reality is, if we wave our flag, it's going to attract people and things that are there for us to help or for them to help or provide help to us. And so then it allows us to work together to get to wherever we're going. And no matter where we are in this world, we're motivation to some and we're failures to others. I mean, it's just the way that it works. And so learning to have the confidence of, hey, I made the mistake, this mistake. That mistake is going to help other people from making it if you can share it. Then people who have made it before you, think of AA and you have a sponsor, they're going to come and say, hey, listen, I did that. It's terrible. Let me help you get out of that spot and we'll get into a better one. And when you can share your journey, it is so much easier to go further and farther and enjoy your pursuit that much more. I talk about it briefly in the book about big mountains take big teams. The bigger the goal is, the bigger the desire is, the bigger the thing is, the bigger the team you need to have to get to the top. I didn't climb Everest by myself. I mean, literally, there's probably 1,000 people involved in that thing. And that's like the truth of almost all of our things. I think a big lie we sometimes subscribe to is it's my idea, so I got to bring it to life. It's your idea, so you have to like build the team around bringing it to life because doing it by yourself is exhausting.
Yeah, so good. All right, sister. I got two questions left and then we gone.
Okay.
There's a lot of people listening right now, likely 60 plus countries, and there's a lot of people on the other end looking at this monitor, listening while they're driving in their car, and they're thinking about, the beautiful beast they want to be 12 months from now. You talk about the difference between success and significance. Could you just real briefly talk to us about the difference between success and significance? And then how can that person listening right now create that identity and be a little more significant with their 12 months from now self? Does that work?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Okay, so for me, success is when you set a goal and you achieve it. And you know it's success instead of significance because the satisfaction is fleeting, right? Like you want to chase the next thing or the next thing. Like you're excited, but it just doesn't last long. Where significance is maybe you achieved the goal, maybe you didn't, right? Like it doesn't matter if you reached the goal or not. It just matters that you had this experience. And it has become a part of you, and it's a wisdom that you carry with you for the rest of your life. And it could be, hey, I just climbed this mountain that only 15 people have climbed before. Here's all the notes that I have on it of like where we went wrong and what we did and how many ropes to bring and how many ice screws and what kind of tent you should bring up there based on the space that you can put it and blah, 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 blah. Whether I summit that mountain or not doesn't matter. The information that I gave to the next person so they can go further and farther and achieve more is so much more significant because it helps the next person. If you get to the top, great. The true beauty and joy from life comes paving that path to make it easier for the next person.
That is good. One of the hardest things about hiking all the second summits is they are less documented, have less homework from people climbing before you, all that stuff. So, really good, friend. All right, you got 30 seconds to talk to our audience about how they can begin creating the best version of themselves today. 30 seconds.
Yeah. Being kind to yourself makes you stronger. So the first thing you can do is be grateful and accepting of who you are right now and where this world has led you and what you've created. And once you own that and appreciate that, you can use micro adjustments to keep moving towards the target that you desire.
Like I said, you're busy. I mean, if you've been paying attention, Jen's been feels like on every TV network, constant book signings, and she's just got back about a month ago from hiking Mount Kilimanjaro with three of your kiddos. I mean, you've been a busy cat, so I really appreciate you carving out the space for us today. Make it a great day.
Thank you.